We are going to talk about what AWS updates from Rainman matter to you. We are going to bring you Luc Fournier from AWS to explain us what does matter from Rainman and from these last AWS updates, and how to plan your first days of 2026. If you would like to join us, please welcome to this episode by Finos Weekly. So let's get to the news. If you have to like ignore everything else and just pick the top three announcements from Rainman for the FinOps team to follow, what are they?
Of course, the first one will be database saving plan, because I would say everybody were looking for that from 5 to 6 years. And it's really working backwards, because I would say this was expected from long time to make the more agile what was compared to the reservation, especially on database, to cover the serverless, and also some database services were not, I would say, covered by reservations. The beauty of this release also is, in fact, for me this is great. For customer it's more maybe a pain, but in fact, the fact that we are trying to force the customer to modernize their infrastructure to be able to use it, it's something. I would say the cherry on the cake also is for the first time we have now a tool that can guide the customer about how they can save and how much they can save immediately with purchase saving plan purchase analyzer integration from the release. And this is the first time that we have I would say for new saving plan reservation features that kind of tool already released in the same times. Great I would say collaboration between database team and insight team, so that's also great. Yeah, the second one is compute optimizer automation. Why? Because I think this is I have not the roadmap in mind, but this is the first one, and it will not be the latest. We are, in fact, one of the pinpoints that we have with the customer when we are optimizing their workload, and we are helping them to discover what are the waste, the main waste. And very often you have 100 or 200 EBS volumes that are unattached, because sometimes the devs or DevOps are forgetting to delete the EBS volume when they are deleting the EC2 instance, and the customer are always like, oh, how much time I will need to understand if I can delete. So now the ability to automate and with a great interface, the snapshot and the deletion of this unattached volume is absolutely great. You have the ability to roll back, you have a dashboard to monitor the progress. And it's not only, I would say, a snapshot and delete the unattached, it's also the conversion, the famous one between GP2, GP3, or IO1, IO2, that has been, I would say, pushed for years regarding this 20% between GP2 and GP3, giving you more throughput and IOPS on the GP3. So yeah, a great second one. And the third one was not easy to select, but this is really personal, and especially with my use case and my own customer use case, the sharing prioritizations, what we call RI RISP, I would say prioritization, the ability to decide on which account you would like to prioritize the application of reservation and saving plan. Because for some company that are having a separate business unit cost allocation, it will avoid to have, I would say, some script or calculation afterwards to know, to understand how the saving plan RIs have been applied. Because before that, it was, of course, AWS were applying this on the most interesting discount for the customer. Nevertheless, even this change in prioritization can affect the customer discount, because if you change the prioritization, you cannot especially get the best discount, but it could also ease the cost allocation.
Yep, that's like, I think that's a very good Samar, I think the savings plans sharing, it's also something that could be very useful for large like organization. I've been like reading a lot like previously on like the complexity sometimes to, you know, be able to share the setup that sometimes you need to make so that the sharing like works great. And now it's like a very like mostly simplified, and that's like super helpful, especially for large enterprises, right?
Yeah, but it's very hard to, because the team have released so many new features during just the week after the week before and during reInvent that it's very hard to select three, but at least that the three that have the most impact for my customer.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say that I was following like last week's updates, and I thought like maybe the feed got wrong because of the to get the reInvent ones, but no, the issue was that there was like a lot of new updates from the AWS side, and I was like, okay, they did it again.
And,
let's say.
And to be honest, on Friday is not part of reInvent, but they have released a very good one again. I don't know if you have seen it already, but at least you spoke about this this morning about the account tag. I really love that one also. Because that is for all the, I would say, the untag usage type and the ability to directly, I would say, list the account with the tag is also great.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one, especially for the people, you know, struggling with the governance and with, you know, finding the right resources. I think it's going to be a funny one whenever it's implemented in the orgs. I'm seeing like I was already reached out by Rick Triana, which we had a podcast some time ago about implementing this like yesterday. So it's going to be fun, the results that they are going to have from the clients. But you know, moving on from the big headlines that we had, what do you think, like from your knowledge and your experience, is the sleeper announcement, the announcement that is small and that it was smaller in terms of the engagement, but is very valuable for the FinOps community?
I really love the and I tried to test it before the release also, because it was, I think this is something highly underestimated with the customer when I'm implementing FinOps governance. Of course, now nowadays the customer are more and more familiar with the tagging, I would say with the three pillar: process, people and tools. But one area where the customer are the most struggling is the forecasting. The ability to project their cost, so they are doing budget in finance, they know how much they will have, but having the ability to, if they have a seasonality or any peaks during the year. So these features of the 18-month forecasting with AI, I would say, in Cost Explorer, is, I think, underestimated in terms of value, because it will take your last 13, 8 months of historical data, will check it with AI, and will give you 18 months of projections. That will allow, in fact, the team to really forecast and be proactive regarding a raise up of the cost instead of being reactive. So yeah, I love this to help the customer to be better in terms of forecasting.
Yeah, now I think also that forecasting is one of the, along with budgeting, which they are, you know, sometimes very related, are the two topics that are the most difficult in FinOps. That's my personal opinion, maybe with unit economics. So, you know, having more tools and having more ways to make this easier for the FinOps practitioner is always helpful, right? So I wanted to, you know, now that we have the updates, now that we have seen what could have been missed, and now you provided this good tip, you know, let's imagine that we are a FinOps practitioner, and it's the Monday morning, or maybe now after reInvent and this new batch that we had today. So what is your step-by-step checklist for a FinOps team that should execute, let's say, in the first 30 days of 2026?
Okay, so my advice will be trying to, I would say, save from the first day. So of course, regarding the database saving plan, especially for everything which was not covered until this release. I mean DMS, serverless database, DocumentDB, for instance, which give you up to 35% opportunities. I would say that we have no tools yet to, I would say, to help. It should come. And do not hesitate always if you have this kind of feedback, especially for inside team, because Rick and Jimmy and all the team love to receive feedback. They love to work backward, and all the features that they are implementing are coming from the customer feedback from the field. But yeah, having the ability now from the day one of this database saving plan to check with your purchase analyzer and check how much you can already save, it's great. I love to say it's important before committing to always right size in DocumentDB. I think the right sizing is not the same priority as it could be for RDS database or whatever. We have no tool yet, I would say, to help directly as Compute Optimizer to have the right sizing. Then as soon that is being done, also check if what are the statement of your regarding your RDS, what is the statement between what is already reserved, what is still on demand, and check if you can upgrade to 7th generation or onwards. And especially an advice, if you are not for all your managed services on Graviton, switch to Graviton. This is not linked to a new feature, even we have Graviton 4 now, but it's must to have, it's a no-brainer. All your managed service should be on Graviton to benefit from better price performance and better sustainability. Then, of course, have a look, if this has not been done yet, have a look on your EBS volumes. If you have a massive EBS volume that you have never took the time to delete, check the automation from Compute Optimizer. Now we are detecting the unused NAT gateway through Compute Optimizer, and also we release the regional NAT gateway. So before you have to get one NAT gateway per AZ with a public subnet, and now you can have a regional one. So it's great if you can transition from your three NAT gateway, if you have three AZ, to one only regional NAT gateway. That's also be a good advice. And then I would say, let's go to the week two, where we could now, we have reduced the waste, we have right size, we have made commitments, we can enhance the visibility and the control. So if you have 20 pairs, I would say up to 20 pairs, more than one at least, and you were struggling because you have to switch from one to the other to check, you can now aggregate up to 20 pairs. In a unified view, all your pair account bill, so that could be also interesting. To save time, cost anomaly detection, we have extended the dimension for the proactive alerts. You have now 24 hours, a real calendar, and also an automatic, I would say, managed monitor, so you don't have to create your custom one. We have now one super intelligent that could also trigger that you could have missed with your custom ones. So yeah, update to the new managed cost anomaly detection monitoring. And for also, you have, I would say, depending if you are using already Cloud Intelligence dashboard, if you are not, you have now the ability, and it was just before reInvent, the ability to create some dashboards on Cost Explorer. You can create dashboard to highlight some specific KPIs, and you don't have to each time reset up your granularity. You can save it into a dashboard and have a full control. And then for the week three, of course, I talk about that. Check on your 18 months forecasting to prepare 2026. Based on the last 38 months. Also check if this is not done, your sharing preference on the ARIs and saving plan, because maybe you can decide to prioritize some business unit or and also check your cost efficiency score. It's a long, I would say, I think Victor can share the blog, but it's a new way to estimate, I think every company has its own way to estimate the progress and how much you are saving and how much you are going more efficient. But we have tried, at least not me, but the team has tried to create kind of standardization to evaluate the efficiency score and to allow you, if this was not done, to directly have in a cost optimization hub this value to estimate your progress. And last but not least, and this is very important to add some guardrail regarding AI. AI is great. AI for FinOps, everybody is talking about AI for FinOps. That could help a lot. That could expedite many things. But we are all aware that AI is not yet perfect compared to human. And I mean, the accuracy is not 100% yet. So it's very important that when you are activating usage of AI for FinOps, that you are always capable to investigate what the AI can do or what the AI is doing to be sure that what you will do with AI is fully accurate. So pilot, test, and so what are the new... we have enable, so we have Kiro, Q developer, which is becoming Kiro. So it was a bit before reInvent, but for instance, we have integrated this with many API and the pricing one, for instance. So instead of using the price calculator, you can, if you have an architecture to be done, use it. I think I wrote a blog about that. It was absolutely nice. The billing MCP server integrate customer development workflow. And also, of course, if this is not yet done, if you are using Kubernetes, have a look on the granular EKS cost attribution for your cost allocation. That's great also.
Yeah, that's like a lot of job to do for our fellow FinOps practitioners. But
it's it's always what we are saying to the customer. It's not a one-time effort. It's always a continuous effort. And what is important with all this information, because you told us that it's even hard for you to follow and to be up to date. What is super important is for the FinOps practitioner to educate their team, because if they are trying to do everything by themselves, it's very hard. So they need to empower the culture of cost awareness inside the organization. And to do that, I think I encourage to do like a FinOps reInvent recap where they are explaining, they are doing demo about this new feature. And also not yet, but soon we will have a workshop available. We'll have also game day. So it's very important to find some safe environment where the customer can practice and enable the dev and DevOps to understand this new feature to be able to use it.
Yeah. I think the main issue is that they will probably have to do a recap every like month or something with the amount of updates that AWS provides, as you mentioned. Like for me, like I dedicate some of my time to follow that, and you know, I do it for trying to help the community, and it was difficult for me to try like everything if I, you know, miss something or whatever with the amount of updates that they are. But you know, I definitely recommend people to you know, investigate. This is probably like a year long list of work if someone is like alone in their team on all of that. So you can do step by step. We have highlighted all the priorities, so I think this is, you know, a very useful resource for Plan 2023.
And also there is the focus, I forgot to mention it, but the focus 1.2 has been released. Even FinOps Foundation has released the 1.3. I have no insight about when we will release the 1.3 in AWS, but 1.2 is available and is great if you are multi-cloud also to switch to focus.
Definitely. No, I think it always takes time to introduce the new updates, especially with all the changes that we have seen, and especially with all the, you know, now that we are focusing more in the Cloud Plus and all this. It requires like a lot of new columns and all of that. So I would like to see, you know, the next implementation of the Focus initiative, both on the like the new version and the implementation by the AWS side. But you know, we have talked a lot about the, you know, the new releases, the new updates, the new stuff. But you know, we think and we see that new services like often come with new pricing models. So from your experience, do you think there are any hidden cost implications or tricks in these new launches and launches that people need to watch out for?
Yeah. So I would say for database saving plan, this is the feedback that I already received from my customer. So for instance, some customers have very small database like T-Series, that is because we have only 6th generation on T-Series. So this is not yet covered by database saving plan. So upgrading to a 7th generation, meaning a C7 or could be more expensive than what they have today. Some customer would like to do hybrid between reservation and saving plan, and we have not, I would say, official tool to do the math, because of course this is the trade-off, and we are trying to, the goal is to push the customer to adopt the saving plan for their database. Why? Because even if they are doing individually, they can using a reservation, they can get more discount. That's a reality. But if you think about the cloud is the agility, because every project can drift, every project can switch or increase or decrease, and having the ability to change the family, the switching from on provision to serverless or serverless to provision is, I think that We should not estimate only the direct cost and the direct discounts, but also the agility. And when we are talking about agility, is really the conversion between the all the services that we have into the database. Someone willing to change from MySQL to Postgres, or from serverless to provision. That's really important for Elastic Cache. Also, the Valky conversions, I think that's something that's super important to remind. We have Elastic Cache that will start to extend its support. I think it's end of Feb or beginning of Feb, I don't remember exactly the date. There is two things here. First, if you migrate to Valky, you can get to between 20 and 30%. Of discounts compared to Redis, and also you are getting a better latency, better performance, and this is the only one that is covered by the saving plan. So if you want to get your Elastic Cache covered by the database saving plan, you need to be on Valky.
Okay, that's a good tip.
yeah, I mean, other than this, I think the combination between ARIs and saving plan, database saving plan, I think will be the challenge of many customers, because also the other challenge is when you have a database and if you are checking the price between 5th generation, 6th generation, 7th generations, you can have, for instance, you can see that the 7th generation can be more expensive. And what we sometimes promote for compute is not the same story for database. So we can always say to the customer, yes, it's more expensive, but you will get 30%, 40% gain into efficiency. And you can maybe downsize your instance time.
Yeah.
The drawback with the database is the memory, because memory is an important part of the database, how it's working, how you are loading data in cache. So downsizing the database memory, because this is linked with the number of vCPU, is not always possible. And so this is why some company will say, okay, moving from the now from my reservation on 6 or 5 generation and moving to 7th generation for getting less discount with the database saving plan and also paying more expensive my the instance type could be first like a broker. But again, you need to add the agility inside the equations, and I think this is what matter, the agility that you can you will have to switch. And again, also something that is important when you are committing for a saving plan, you have 7 days to roll back. So after 24 hours, you can already see in cure the benefits or not of your saving plan. So if you're seeing that finally this is not what you aim for, you can ask to roll back and return to your previous reservation. Yeah,
that's a good one. I think like you have a kind of a week free trial, even though it's not like super free, you have a week of trial to see if it's working. Like savings plans and reserve instances is a huge commitment, like from the cash, let's say, the finance perspective. So it's good that you have some margins, right, that you can play a bit about, like, okay, let's test it out, let's see core, and then let's decide, right, that you can make some simulation, because otherwise on paper sometimes it looks good, but then when you apply it, it's not working, right?
Yeah, and it could be also the good occasion for those who were, I would say, not going on serverless because of the lack of saving plan or commitment or discounts. It could be the right time to reevaluate the benefits of serverless, especially because on Aura you have the ability to get hybrid. You can be a hybrid, so you can have a provision writing and a serverless reader. So I think sometimes when you have a RDS multi AZ, you are paying one active, one passive. With Aura, you are also reducing the operation need, so you can reduce the resource impact and the operational effort for your resources. Going to, you get already the storage, which is already multi-AZ, and you can use a serverless, but serverless, has already, it's also dependent on if you have a 24 hours running database. Serverless could not be the best, or scaling and scale out is not an option, because you have full full run all the time, 24 hours, 7 days. But considering Aura with the hybrid setup could be also something valuable now.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's very, very useful. I followed, like, when I started in in AWS development, I think it was 2021 or something. Like when I saw like the first Aurora serverless, and I was like, yeah, this is a great idea, because probably databases are one of the most, like, continuous workloads that you can have in cloud, and having a hybrid model able to fix that, it would be great. So, but I want to, I am a very hands-on person. I am very trying to get real numbers to people. So maybe we can go through a real scenario. Maybe if a client, we can go through, like, imagine you are a client and it adopts announcement, one of the announcements that we have mentioned. How does the math change compared to the previous status of their deployment?
Yeah, so for instance, taking an example of a large organization that is using a complex database portfolio, so they are using MySQL for their core application, DMS for the database migration, Neptune for knowledge graph, and DocumentDB for content management. Monthly spend $9,500. Under the old model, so before the database saving plan, they could only get reserve instance coverage for Aura and MySQL. It's a provision one. So we can say, and this is average figures, to make it simple, they save 35% on 5,000 and bringing that to 3,250. But the remaining 4,500 across DMS, Neptune, and DocumentDB were still on demand. Okay, so the total monthly cost is $7,750. Overall, the discount globally compared to the $9,500 is 18%. Now, with the database saving plan, you are you can cover the all the services. So you get up to 35% coverage. And to make this simpler, we will drop to 6,175 monthly. So now the globally the saving across all your database service will be 3,325, meaning that it's versus the 1,750 which were given by the RIs, we are talking now about 18,900 additional saving per year. So I think this is really a great additional saving that you can do, because with the previous version only RIs, you have a monthly cost of 7,750, and now you are going to be at 6,175. So globally, this is why I put database saving plan as the first thing to check, because you can start from day one after the release to have directly a cost reductions on your on the services that were not impacted, even without talking about upgrading to the new generation or whatever. You have already services that potentially can be covered from day one. And as you know, this is not because you can take how many saving plan that you want. So of course, more you will take saving plan, the return on investment is decreasing depending how you are sharing the priorities, because the first one will get the better discount, and then we are, of course, this is decreasing in terms of ROI. But really have a look on this, especially if you are using those DocumentDB, Neptune, DMS that were not covered before, and serverless.
Definitely. No, I think that you always have to be up to date with the updates. I think there is, now that we have like more coverage on new services, it's just, you know, being up to date and being able to check the current like spend and being able to adapt our commitment strategy to fit those, right? It's a great update. So
And again, I would like to say, if you have any feedback, do not hesitate. So if you have an account team on AWS, TAM, account manager, don't hesitate to tell us what is your feedback, or even you can contact Victor on LinkedIn, or and he can give it to me, or directly contact me on LinkedIn. We need to hear from the field. What are the good, what could be improved on this database saving plan? You know, I would say 99% of the feature that AWS release are just coming back from what we call internally the PFR, the product feature request, that are pushed by the customer. We are working backwards from the customer. We are customer obsessed, and this is super important. Even if you have a feedback, it will not be released in 2 months, of course, because there is everything that is already maybe scheduled for the next six months. But if this is relevant and many customers are pushing the same feedback, that can also be more faster take into consideration and improved by the team. So it's very important to not say, okay, that is not good, and keep it for you. Share it with us.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with the Amazon, like with the AWS feedback cycle, and yeah, feel free to reach out to Luik or to me, and I can redirect to
your account people. Team like, or...
Yeah, of course, if you have like an account team or whatever, so that we know they can help you on having this feature, right? So, okay, so we've been talking about like, you know, 30 minutes approx, and we don't know a lot about you, Luik. So, you know, you are now a TAM manager in AWS, but, you know, take us a little bit back on, you know, what were you doing before, what triggered you to join Finops and AWS?
So I start my career in IT in 1999, in the last century, and I'm nearly 45. I'm based in Geneva, and I'm working, I'm dedicated, I would say, working on the international organization. And what I have done before AWS, I had, I would say, several roles in infrastructure, so security, networking, system, database. I even worked for so many years on mainframe, S400, iSeries, IBM. I've been also middleware integration on Java, Tomcat, WebSphere and all these nice things, and then also database administrator on the DB2 Oracle. So I had a very nice career. You know, we have to reinvent ourselves in IT many times, and learning and be curious is always great. So I was freelance for many years. So when you are freelance, and you might know what it means to, if you want to stay longer with the customer, you have to be more than just a database consultant, or you have to be more. And then I also transitioned to business also. Then I have a role of business analyst, and because I realized after many years and more experience that IT, I would say infrastructure, is just a tool for business. And if there is no business, there is no IT. So it's very important to understand and to speak the same language of the business. The ability to speak with CFO, with CEO, with, I would say, executive, but also with the business unit, to understand clearly their needs and provide the solution that really fit the needs and will solution what they need, instead of looking always for the last generation of or the best solution in IT perspective. And why I would say I joined AWS 3 years ago. At the beginning, I have no clue about FinOps, to be honest. I was passionate by finance. I was passionate by sustainability, and also I'm very customer obsessed. I work. I spent many years in support area. I was director of operation and support. So it's very important for me to always seeing my customer happy. And I find that what is one of the differentiator of AWS is this customer obsession, and the way that we are as a team, we are empowered to help the customer to reduce the bill. It's quite, I would say, when you're spending time with your customer, at the first time, the customer reaction is, this is quite nice that we have someone from AWS helping us to reduce our AWS bill. It's, you know, it's not common. So I really love it. And also I start to work with Cloud Intelligence Dashboard team to develop the features with Yakov and Yuri. And more I was working on FinOps, I discovered that it was a collection of everything. Helping the customer to be more sustainable, which is super important when you have kids and you want to your kids to grow in a better world, I would say. And also you want your customer to be more efficient, to be more modernized, and then of course helping them to save costs. So this is why I would say I decided to learn more and more on this area, and trying to become a very good specialist in FinOps, because I think that was a good connection with all my favorite topics.
Okay, that's a good story. I think it's, you know, wonderful to have like so experienced people. You have a long career already, and I think you already have like a long career to continue. So definitely a lot of knowledge in that head, right?
Yeah, and I think it's cool because I did most of my career on premises, and I, on premises we have this nice ITSM principle. And when you were doing a project, you were doing a meeting. Okay, this is what we will buy. Okay, we will buy this. You were buying the hardware, the license, and then you were not speaking with the business for 3 years. So you were just making the day to day, and that is working. The business opening case time to time. Why? And you were doing change management, but now in this. The trend is the chaos engineering. So there is no anymore any change management that, okay, we will do an upgrade on your production in the in 3 months. So we will do month one, we will do dev, then test and prod. Now it's not going like this anymore. So the agility of the cloud has opened, I would say, and you need, when the customer are doing migration, we are helping them, of course, to do the migration. But in the FinOps governance area, I'm trying to help them to change the mindset, because the first when they are doing a migration, they are, I would say, usually they are putting every infrastructure the double of what they need. because they don't know exactly how. Even we have tool to tell them, okay, this is what the instance size should be, but they always fear about to not have enough power, so they will scale everything twice that what they need. And so you are explaining that, yeah, in the chaos engineering trend and the fact that the change are the Brooklyn deployment, everything is, it might change fast, and you need to be agile. And the FinOps reality will be completely different in the cloud compared to what it was on premises. And as I know the two worlds, I can really explain the difference to the customer and try to make them aware that as soon they are migrating to the cloud, they need to start this important mindset conversions to some people need to manage the cost on-premise, to everyone need to manage the cost on the cloud. Everyone need to have ownership and responsibility of the cost on the cloud. And this is, I would say, for me, having known the two world, this is clearly something that I would say I can testify, and I can really help to implement this FinOps governance.
Well, that's great. I think it's, you know, governance is one of the trickiest part of me, and you being able to, now that we are doing like all this and the Cloud Plus adaptation into FinOps, you also have like, you know, now that if that comes, sometimes it's like you have a lot of insights coming from that world, and you now have to see like the evolution of the cloud directly and how FinOps can you know, apply to both worlds. And that's super interesting. And, you know, thinking about the, you know, always the practitioner, like if you would like to share one piece of advice to the FinOps practitioners to survive all the, you know, the updates that they are like every week. I am posting like, I don't know, 10 updates every week, and, you know, apart from the reinvent, what it would be.
First, what is super important, I think, of course, there are a lot of people that on LinkedIn, Victor, and also my colleagues, Steph and Savannah, who are trying to, through the key of cost optimization, doing one session per week where they are explaining the new features. We have also nice blogs that are what we are trying in the blog. Always, we are starting from the real use case. So, of course, there is documentation explaining step by step how you can implement the features, but having a real use case in mind, where we are starting from this on the blog and we are going down deeply on the features, I think is great. Also, if you have not seen it, this is super important. If you can check the session of the team in reInvent, they are available, mostly available on YouTube. The session of Rick, of Jimmy, Liam, the product demo, the roadmap. Also, that is super interesting to see, because they are really explaining, because they are the product manager, they are really explaining why they are doing this like this. And it's also helping to understand what the PM has in mind. What was it when he has created the PRFIQ, and when he has designed the product that has been released. So having in mind this, I would say watching this presentation is also great just after reInvent to understand what is the target of the product management of the cloud financial management team at AWS, what they have in mind. They are explaining it very well. And also, again, It's super important. We talk a lot about the commitment, and I'm seeing still some people that are committing but never optimizing, never reducing the waste. So I talk a lot about database saving plan, but one of my favorite products is Compute Optimizer. And you need to abuse of Compute Optimizer, because when you in reality, what we were doing before manually. When I mean when a customer 2 years ago, before, for instance, RDS was an Aura were inside Compute Optimizer, when a customer was telling me, can you help me to right size my database, you cannot imagine how much time we can spend on collecting the logs, identifying the right KPIs, understanding the business or the database. And now having something that tell you exactly, and not only telling you, but also showing you with graph and projection of the future instance KPIs, it's super great. And of course, we already talked about that, but yeah, it's a good time now to check the forecasting for 2026. Check the forecasting, identify where, if you have a big race up, identify why and try to, I would say, investigate and educate your team. That's also something super important. It's good that as a FinOps practitioner, you are, again, I already mentioned it, but the education is great, because more you will be able to educate your team, celebrate the achievement, and you can even implement rewards in your team. Okay, challenge. So for instance, look, we have these features that has been released. The team that will implement it and get the more benefits in the first quarter will win, a nice t-shirt or whatever. But trying to celebrate the achievement of your team and educate them. We have also on Skill Builder. We have a Skill Builder. We have nice training about FinOps that Natalia and many and Judith and so on have put together. So they are free. Cloud Financial, I don't remember the name exactly, but there is a training on Cloud Financial Management. So if you can, because the dev and the DevOps, of course, if you are asking if they prefer to learn about FinOps or learning about the new AI features, I think the trade-off will be done super fast. But if you are able to explain what is matter, because if you are able to save, we will have more budget to, spend money on this super nice new techie AI model, and I will be able to give you more budget to because you have saved on the production, you will have more budget to experiment and develop the future. That will be another sense of what they are doing. So yeah, it's very important also to explain to everyone that from the design, it's very important to consider FinOps and why they need to do that. Because if you are telling them just help me to save money, yeah, it's not my company, okay, but yes, but if you are saving money, you will have more budget to experiment. That could be a nice one.
You need to put like the benefits on the real side, like the incentives. No, it's always with engineering, I think it's always about incentives. It's getting more people in your team, being able to develop more features because they cost less. So you can have more for the same pricing. And I think you gamification, as you mentioned, and incentives in general is what drives people.
Everything we talk from the beginning is just tool. So tool, I would say, are great, but are not magic. So if you are using it, it will not apply. So you need to educate the people, to be sure that this new feature will be used, and then also you can implement processes. What I mean for processes, for instance, if you would like to be sure that you will get the most of a database saving plan, do not allow to deploy any Elastic Cache on Redis, and implement a process to be sure that every Elastic Cache will be deployed with Valky, to be sure that every managed service will be deployed with Graviton. And you can do that, with SCP, you can control with config, you can detect which one are not Graviton, and then go to discuss with the team. So implement those guardrails and those control are also part of the deal. And it's good to implement these processes, because even you have great tools, if you have to go back to this the same issue again and again, it will be a waste of time. So using the tool is great, but be sure that you will have you will avoid to reiterate the same action to save again on the same topic. It's very important to implement the guardrail and the processes to avoid that.
Definitely. Having the, you know, policy set up, the SCPs, the automation in place so that it happens, you know, without you having to take a look on that or having to recheck or having to manually do so. It's wonderful. So thanks for all the tips today, Luik. It was a pleasure to, you know, be able to help everyone in the financial space to, you know, gather themselves around on the AWS Raymond. So thanks for helping us today.
And don't hesitate if you have any feedback about this. We are all, I would say, all the cloud financial management team in AWS are very connected with the service team. It will be a pleasure to give the feedback to the team, and they are waiting for it, because this is always the stress of the PM to understand if what they have delivered is exactly what was expected and how they can make it more customer happy. So yeah, very important feedback.
Yeah, that's great. So try and help the team from AWS so they can help you save more and more after that. So yeah, thank you for being here today. I hope you had a great time, and see you everyone in the next episode. Bye-bye.